The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis, Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black on black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked.
Hey, Albert, you know, I want to talk about separatism and this whole separatist ideology that we find in the black community. I feel like what Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton preach is a pretty much kind of like a religion of separatism. It's black this, black that, what we've got to do, who's doing this to us. It's all, you know, it's always black. And basically, I feel like the message that it sends is one of separatism. I have a problem with that because I feel like the most expedient and advantageous thing that we can do as far as to help the black community, so to speak, move forward economically and in other areas, I feel like the best thing we can do is to assimilate, if you will.
Right.
Now, when I say that, I'm not suggesting that somehow we are assimilating and we are just buying into and adopting wholeheartedly 100% a 100% European culture. Because I feel like what I'm talking about is the American culture. And the American culture is a blend of European, African, primarily, mm-hmm. along with
Spanish.
A little Spanish culture, Hispanic culture,
even
so
Asian.
And so on. And even Asian. But I think here in America, what we would refer to as American culture is predominantly black and white. I think most people would agree with that. So I don't want black people to think that I'm asking them to kind of jump ship, if you will, and, hey, let's just run over here and adopt this European culture. What you're actually doing is you're adopting probably what I would consider the best aspects of the cultures that I just mentioned.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Well, basically, I agree that this thing about separatism, and I hear a lot of it from Farrakhan and people like him, somehow they believe that black folks are going to go out and form their own little, I don't know, for a better word, a state or some kind of enclave or something. And that's kind of ridiculous, mainly because even if that happened, even if there was a large enough chunk of vacant land on the continent of the United States, and if you transported a large segment of black people or they chose to immigrate to that to this chunk of land, it would almost be an instant third world country.
I agree.
Because this is the point. The black community right now does not produce enough professionals to service the black community.
Or goods and services.
And if they did go off on this own, this black nation, this black enclave, where's your manufacturing? Where are you going to get all...
What about health care?
Absolutely. And all the things that go in to make this technological society that we've accustomed to, how are you going to duplicate that? In given time, you might, but for a little while, it would be like a third world country. And I don't think you're going to find a lot of black professionals that's going to be willing to give up the lifestyle they have to go to this black enclave, separate themselves from the general population, from the American society, to go and live in this black enclave. So I think it's basically a con game that a lot of people play, the Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, because they're preaching something that that anybody to really think it through, no, it's not going to happen. It's not feasible, and it's not really practical. So I just think it's part of their con game.
Well, you use the term third world country, and it would be. And here's the thing. The idea when you talk about separating is to be autonomous, independent, and of yourself.
Right.
It would be a third world country that would be that would have to heavily rely upon American subsidies.
Absolutely.
You'd be right back to let's say, for the sake of this argument, and what they're proposing, square one.
Right. American manufacturing, probably even American agriculture for a long time until you got up and running, medical supplies, any number of things that we enjoy in this technological society. Black people don't produce enough to service their own community. So if you separate yourself, where is that going to come from? Are you instantly going to be able to build your own cars, your own trucks, your own railroads, your own airplanes?
Institutions that took a long time to establish.
Right, right.
You know, and would it be fair for the people that are moving away to form this new separatist society to ask to take certain things with them?
Well, I'm sure they'd be able to take their private possessions, but you can't pick your house up and take it unless it's a mobile house.
And you can't take the automotive industry with you.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things you just can't take with you.
You'd be like Cuba if you don't get the new models from the United States or some other manufacturer, you're going to be keeping 50-year-old cars on the road somehow. So,
well, black people, when you hear this message of separatism, you really just need to ignore it. Because that is not the solution. And let me say this. If you want a good idea of how separatism would go for you, let's look at the country of Liberia.
Good example.
It was formed by ex-former American slaves and whatnot, you know, black people from the United States. And it's not going too well in Liberia right now. And that's because they had put the cart – well, one reason, they put the cart before the horse. You know, if you're talking about separatism, it's just like a child that wants to leave out from his parents' house too soon. That hasn't been properly trained and fortified to deal with the circumstances of the world.
And know how to live on your own.
Exactly.
Without
they're gonna be
subsidies,
right.
Without welfare.
Exactly.
Without the social safety net.
Exactly.
Because you gotta be self-sufficient. And if you're not self-sufficient within the broader society, how are you gonna be self-sufficient when you separate yourself from the very institutions that's been feeding you, clothing you, putting a roof over your head, providing all kinds of other medical services, and then all of a sudden you're going to separate yourself and think that you're going to automatically have the skills to do that?
Well, what about the people that are currently relying upon welfare? What are they going to rely upon when they go to this
Absolutely.
New separatist state, so to speak?
Are they going to say, well, we need foreign aid like so many other African or Middle East countries or either countries all over the world?
And actually what they're proposing is a return to the Jim Crow era, separate but equal.
Well, it would be separate and unequal.
Exactly. but they seem to believe that it would be equal. And what it really boils down to is what these race baiters, these peddlers of race are suggesting is ridiculous, when the real solution is we need to look inward into this current American society and take advantage of the opportunities that it presents. And when I talk about opportunities, obviously I'm not talking about welfare and things of that nature. I'm talking about the opportunities that exist here with the health care, with education and things like that. There's no other place in the world that presents more opportunity.
Absolutely.
But yet, and the black community doesn't seem to be convinced of that, because we continually ignore the opportunities here. Many of us, unfortunately, would rather rely upon the state, the government.
Well, the part that bothers me is this. You could have two brothers born in the same family, raised the same way, exists or grew up in the same quote-unquote racist society. One is successful and the other is not. This one is not. He's going to blame racism. How can you make that leap in your own mind when you see examples out here, and even a president, CEOs, governors,
many examples.
Exactly. So how can you believe that racism is keeping you down when there's so many examples of people
being successful,
right,
in this American society?
It might have grew up in the same
house. Absolutely.
Same parents. Went to the same schools.
So that right there should let black people know, and black people listen to this. There is no excuse.
Right.
It's an internal thing. It's an internal problem. All problems are internal at the end of the day. It's about what you decide to do for yourself. And oftentimes, me and my buddy, we talk about this same issue. And this is where we're at. Let's say America was this incredibly racist place, mm-hmm. just terrible racist place. Okay, then the best thing you can do at that point is understand that it is what it is and understand that you have to do what you got to do to get to where you got to get to, because you're not going to change.
Right. That's why I was saying find a way,
but that's
over,
not the case.
Under, around, the through racism to achieve your American dream or what
Absolutely.
You want to do in your life. And the fact that other people have done it is proof positive that racism is not the big boogeyman that the left wants to make it out to be. It's not preventing you unless you let it prevent you.
I like how you say the big boogeyman.
Yeah, right.
But you, let me tell you, the big boogeyman is these kids wearing their pants off their asses and their parents allow them to walk around having that mentality. The big boogeyman is these parents that are sitting up in the house right now and the kids are in the house and they're not taking the time to instruct them and educate them and talk to them mm-hmm. about the ways of the world. That, you know, the big boogeyman is they won't take these kids and discipline them. That's the big boogeyman. The big boogeyman is the fact that you will sit there in this house, in this community, in this society, and see this opportunity out there. And the great thing about America is you can sit back and visually see what success is. There's
right.
there's tons of examples of success. Mm-hmm. So we know you've been exposed to it. We know you see it. And then at the same time, you can see what's necessary in order to get there. And you sit on the sidelines and ignore all that.
And not,
that's
only,
the
that,
big boogeyman.
Not only that, you see what the dependent lifestyle gets you. You see
it
how
breeds
it
breeds more
out.
Failure.
Exactly. From generation to generation, it breeds failure. It brings crime. It breeds all sorts of undesirable characteristics in the neighborhood. So why would you want to perpetuate that?
Let me tell you something. I'm slicker than a can of oil. So if I get hustled, I get hustled because I allow myself to get hustled. Because I'm really giving somebody an opportunity to not hustle me. That's the only way I can get hustled. And I got hustled a few weeks ago. I was downtown. I was on my way to a business meeting. I actually had two. So I went to one over in the Hyatt. And then my next meeting was, you know, a few blocks away. So I was able to park in a garage and just walk mm-hmm. to both meetings. A guy and his wife come up to me. And, you know, I was well-dressed and everything. And they walked up to me, and a black guy and a black girl, and they were married. They told me that they were a married couple. And they said that they were new back here in town and that they were, you know, trying to get themselves together. Well, today in particular, they were having a problem mm-hmm. with transportation. They used the bus system. And we need X amount of money to travel there via the bus. I said, okay, and, you know, you're new to the town now. All along, I'm thinking, well, I'm probably getting hustled here, but you know what? I'm going to give them an opportunity. If I'm not getting hustled, and if they genuinely need to get out to Madisonville to do what they say they need to do, I'm going to make sure that I'm responsible for them getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm probably getting hustled. Because I've seen this before. You
yeah.
know, and the guy with the woman, you kind of use the woman to kind of help the situation, so on and so forth. So I gave him what he needed, gave him my information, contact information, gave him a business card. He told me he was looking for some work and so on and so forth. So I said, I tell you what, give me a call at this number. I said, but email me first and reiterate our conversation here today, and then give me a call. And he told me what his trade was. I said, I can probably help you out. I got a guy I can call, and you can get some work, like ASAP. Well, shook his hand, went about my business. I go to the next meeting, three blocks away, which happened to be in a very nice lounge right on the corner. And I'm sitting in there meeting with these gentlemen, and I happen to look out, glance out the window during the meeting. Guess what I saw? I saw that guy and his wife hustling
yeah.
more people
uh-huh.
for money for this transportation. I've given you enough to get to
yeah.
Madisonville and back. Okay. And then I even, what was funny, it was almost like he was a coach on the sidelines doing an NFL game. You know how they do this, make the signals and send the instructions in mm-hmm. back and forth via signals? Well, I saw him sending signals to her on who to approach. Now, he's on one corner, one block, and he's approaching people, and she's over, and he's pointing and directing her on who to go to and this and that, and don't miss that person. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching it, and it's well orchestrated. He's like, really, you know, he's been running this game for a while. I just kind of shook my head and said, you know what, it doesn't make me or break me one way or the other. But it's a shame because he's out here running this game when he actually had found a solution to his problem that would mm-hmm. have brought him in off of the street.
Right.
The way he wouldn't have had to run this game if he had been genuine, I could have helped him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and he's expending a whole lot of energy, a whole lot of ingenuity, a whole lot of creativity in an activity that's not going.
It's not yielding very much.
Right. It might give you some pocket change.
It's not even day to day. It's hour to hour type.
Right. But it's not going to give you any kind of a future. It's not going to put you in a home. It's not going to do anything for the next generation. And people, especially poor black people, have to realize that you have to look forward. You have to look beyond now.
Right.
Satisfying the needs of now. You have to project into the future. What am I doing now that to prepare the way for my, not first myself and my wife, if I got one, for my kids, and maybe even for their kids? And you don't see that.
Well, we don't understand. One thing we don't understand, and I've talked about this going all the way back to high school, is deferred gratification.
Right.
You have to understand, the now is more about meeting the necessities, okay?
And not the Jordans.
Right. And unfortunately, in the popular black culture now, everything is about getting now. I want my now. Get rich quick or die trying, you know, with that foolishness that 50 Cent was talking.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to understand that now is more or less about meeting the bare necessities. And you got to look ahead at the game. Like you said, what you will find, I believe, that if you can ignore the now as far as having the luxury items and things like that, quite often what you're looking for will come a little quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, before you know it, you'll look up one day and look, you got this.
Right.
And then it also gives you the ability to assess the mistakes that you've made when you put things in perspective. And quite often, you know, life is full of mistakes. We've all made a lot of mistakes. And the message that I'm really trying to send to all Americans, in particular, with this being the B on B commentary, is we have to have a new way of approaching things in black America. We got to begin to look at things a little differently. This whole thing of reliance upon the government and handouts and things like that, that's not sustaining. That's not real.
Right.
This whole thing of being able to rapidly achieve wealth, that's not realistic. Does it happen? Seldom, yes. But it's not realistic,
right.
And it's not conducive to black people as a whole moving forward.
That's the thing. I think black people, I won't say all black people, but a certain class of black people have to understand, if you're going to make it, you're going to make it on your own.
Right.
Welfare, the social services, they're only going to give you enough to subsist. They're never going to make you wealthy. They're never going to make you all that. Well, you might be comfortable, but you're not going to be well off. And if you ever want to have anything better than just making it, you're going to have to do it on your own.
Well, let's talk about some solutions to moving forward economically. And right. I have to say I'm biased here, but I'm in the petroleum business now. And what I have very rapidly realized is that, and if you take a look at North Dakota, the petroleum business offers an immediate opportunity for Americans, and especially Americans that are living in economically disadvantaged situations. It offers them the opportunity to take a major leap forward. Petroleum-based jobs, and I'll just say fossil fuels in general.
Right. But you mentioned that. I just heard on the radio, I listened to a talk show. You know, there's a lot of demonstrating about $15 an hour should be the minimum wage. Well, they were saying, like, out there in North Dakota, other places, those service jobs are paying $15 or more.
$17 an hour, yeah.
Because of the demand. Now, here you have a place where they're looking for people to work, paying that $15 an hour, but you got people marching in another state demanding that, and there's a job waiting for them.
But wait, I got to stop you.
There's a job waiting for them.
It gets even better. Now, this is the full mission that these race baiters like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton take black folk on. Mm. They got us out here marching in the streets, talking about jobs and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, these same suckers will support the Democrat Party that is completely against the Keystone Pipeline,
right.
And completely against fracking,
right.
And things like that,
right.
That we know via the example that North Dakota has given us and Texas and Pennsylvania, that you can immediately, with no education, very minimal education, be propelled into these high-paying jobs.
Right.
Now, black people, you need to hear this because I'm pissed off
now. And they're not willing to travel to another state to get those jobs, but they have people coming from all over the world.
But you don't even have to do that. Just travel to the state house in your local state and petition them to say, hey, let's open up this fracking. Let's drill in our state so we can have the same success that North Dakota's right. having. Now, black people, if you want to see the so-called economic disparity, something done about that, that's what you do. Get behind drilling for oil. Get behind fracking. Get behind fossil fuels and stop buying into this bullshit that these liberal Democrats like Sharpton, Jackson, and Obama are telling you as far as the environment. And let me tell you something. Last time I checked, the environment is in A-OK shape because I go outdoors, walk outdoors right now wherever you live, except for L.A., and take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Guess what? That's good fresh air.
Yeah.
That's life-sustaining fresh. This shit they feeding y'all about, global warming, it's a bunch of bullshit, man-made global warming. What we've got to do is the environment will take care of itself is what I'm saying. So let us take care of ourselves economically. Let's get behind fossil fuels and things of that nature, and let's get some jobs, and these jobs are going to lead to good education for our kids, good homes and communities for us to live in, and things of that nature.
Well, absolutely, and I think in closing, I have to say you bring out a good point in that the opportunity is there.
Yes, yes.
What's missing is the mindset. What's missing is the initiative. And what's missing is the drive to go out and take advantage of those opportunities. Just like you got involved in the oil business, a lot of other people can do that.
Absolutely.
Are there other businesses? You can get back in school. There are many things you can do instead of sitting back and saying that racism is holding you back. Get out and do something for yourself. Get out and take the initiative because the opportunity is there.
And let me say this. This is the big opportunity that we're not taking advantage of. And that is the opportunity to stop aligning ourselves with the party, Democrat Party, that is leading us down the wrong path, leading us away from opportunity and success.
Right.
The Democrats are against fracking. They're against the pipeline. They're for abortion. They're for illegal immigration. All things that are hurting us.
Right. And are hurting the very people who vote for them 90% of the time.
That's terrible.
Better.
That's a terrible situation.
Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we can be proud of.